Christmas was always one of those things as a kid. I would look forward to, and it would seem like it would take forever, forever, forever to get to. I don't know if you could appreciate that, but one of the things I know now as an adult is that time goes by so much faster. And it just felt like it was the new year or summertime, and suddenly it's Christmas time. It's pretty crazy. Tonight, this is not a new series, it's just a one-time message about Christmas and the kinds of things that I've been thinking about. With our anticipation, we can spend so much time looking forward to something, getting ready for it, that our ability to slow down and just enjoy it can be missed. And hopefully tonight, just gathering together with friends, here and engage and considering the Word of God, will be an opportunity for us to just kind of chill and appreciate what the Bible talks about with Christmas time and what we should be focused on. I encourage you to try not to let your mind wander to all the things you got to do still. Just enjoy it. So tonight, I'm going to actually read an unusual passage. Most times people go right to Luke 2. It's the passage of scripture that people will, they want to kind of get the Christmas story in one Bible reading. I remember when I was a kid, when we were moving from Ohio to New York, this is a strange kind of story. We were moving from Ohio to New York, and we moved in the late October, early November time period. And before we moved into our house, after we moved to New York, we lived in a motel for a couple weeks. And I remember one night, my dad set us down, and I don't know why, but I asked that he would read the Christmas stories. Well, where do you want me to read from? I said, Matthew chapter 1. If you open up to Matthew chapter 1, the first part of Matthew chapter 1 is genealogy. It's like completely boring and you know, weird. And I remember being all disappointed. I'm like, that's not the story of Jesus. But there's backstory. The backstory is Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start tonight, not in the genealogy, but just past the genealogy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is where we're starting tonight. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. This is in chapter 2. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he said to them to Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry and sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life were dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Not the typical Christmas story. This has all the gory details in it. In Luke chapter 2, it's sort of like this nice little story about, the shepherds and the glory of God in the highest, and they came and and this has got more of the gritty details to what was going on. Matthew's gospel was written to Jews, and the specifics of this, you can see even in the first chapter and the second chapter, that it was about recognizing where Jesus fell, being in the line of David, and then also that the fulfillment of the scriptures was happening as all these things were going down. The focus is a little bit different than Luke, but it's valuable nonetheless. Tonight I just have five thoughts to share with you, and then that'll be it. My first thought tonight: God told us what he was going to do. Then he did it. A lot of time went by between when he said it and when it happened, but it did happen just the way he said it would. The Old Testament, in the Old Testament, there's a whole lot of scriptures concerning the Messiah. And the great thing about the birth of Jesus Christ wasn't just that, God became flesh. Yes, absolutely, that's great. But that God made certain that everyone knew that it was going to happen. And a lot of time went by, but then once Jesus came on the scene, it was a fulfillment of the things that had been promised. My second point tonight: God gave many details surrounding the incarnation, ensuring that doubts could be eased and faith could be activated. In our lives, when we know the promise but have yet to see it, we can be encouraged by God's track record with promises. In our lives, there are times where we aren't seeing the fulfillment of what God wants to do or what God has promised, and we have to wait. We have to wait for it. And sometimes it can be very discouraging. Sometimes we can find ourselves feeling overwhelmed that things haven't gone the way we expect them to go. But when we look to the incarnation, when we look to the birth of Jesus Christ, we recognize that there are a lot of details that are being thrown in there. Because what it allows for us is, as we look back, we can be assured that this was the promised Messiah. There's no doubt in our minds because of the fulfillment of Scripture and because of everything that occurred in all the details that surrounded it. We just read about it in chapter 2 of Matthew. Our doubts can be eased that Jesus was who he said he was. Later on, he proclaimed himself to be God, and that angered a lot of people. But even the events surrounding his birth, things that he as a baby child had no control over, them fleeing to Egypt, them settling in Nazareth instead of Galilee, the different details, where they would go, what they were doing, the fulfillment of God, because God knew all the different, seemingly very different ideas coming together with the birth of Jesus Christ. Third point: Mary pondered, Joseph obeyed, Simeon praised. The fulfillment had begun, but was not yet fully realized. Waiting is powerful. I'm going to hang out on this point for a little bit because I want to flesh this out a little bit. In Luke chapter 2, it talks about Mary treasuring these things, pondering these things, and treasuring them in her heart. In youth group on Wednesday night, I was talking to the youth and young people about the fact that we really need to take time to think about, to ponder, to meditate on what God's Word says to us. As Mary was seeing these things happen, the special events that were occurring, okay, she just gave birth to a baby, and suddenly these shepherds come in and say, hey, we just saw a whole bunch of angels out in the fields surrounding Bethlehem, and we heard that you just had a baby, and look at that, the baby's right there, exactly the way we were told it was going to happen. And they marveled and praised God and told everybody that they knew about this baby that had been announced by angels. Okay? Mary saw these things and took time to reflect, and obviously the fact that she was a virgin and gave birth was a big deal. Okay, it was a miracle. But beyond that, there's all these different events that were surrounding her life. Joseph, being a just man, his fiancée, his betrothed, is pregnant suddenly, and no one as a virgin had ever gotten pregnant before, so it was very reasonable for him to assume that she had been unfaithful and someone had taken advantage of her. And instead of making a public spectacle of her, he was just going to break off the engagement, and because he wanted, you know, he was a just man, he was a righteous man. He didn't want to get caught up in all that. But God came to Joseph, and then Joseph obeyed. Joseph did what the Lord told him to do. We know in Luke that when Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated, there was an old man there who had been told by the Holy Spirit that there he would see the promised Messiah. And in comes a young couple with a baby, an infant. And he is overwhelmed with gratitude that he has the opportunity to see the fulfillment of what God had told him was going to happen. And he praised God. Obviously, the fullness of what Messiah was all about in a baby hadn't happened yet. He had just come. The beginning of the end, so to speak. The beginning of the fulfillment of all that God had promised them was going on. And in those things, their response, their reactions to what God was doing was significant. What I want to point out is that last point. Waiting is powerful. If you're anything like me, there have been times in your life where you've had to wait around for God to do what he said he was going to do. Where you've gotten bits and pieces of his plan for your life. You don't really necessarily know how it's going to end up. You don't know who it is you're going to marry. You don't know how many kids you're going to have. You don't know a lot of things. And now I'm on the other side of some of that stuff. Because I know that, you know, of course, the career I'm in. And I know who I'm married. And I know how many kids I have. And, you know, there are things that I know now. But leading up to it, I wasn't so sure. In my life now, there are still things that I see that God needs to do, or God needs to do in me, or needs to do in my family, and I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't see how it's going to happen in my life. But while I am waiting upon the Lord, there is a heart attitude, a posture that I can take in my life that is hugely powerful. It's powerful in the sense that we can be poised to be people of faith. When we don't see the fulfillment, but we're trusting in the one who made the promise. We're not trusting in the promise itself, we're trusting in the God who made the promise. Mary thought about these things. She reflected on them. She's like, wow, this child that was born, you know, through me is very special. Okay, Joseph, you know, I'm not so sure about this girl Mary, but the Lord told me, do this. He obeyed many times, not just in taking her to be his wife. He obeyed the voice of the Lord to flee and protect his family. His obedience in all those things shows us that we have the Messiah. It wasn't just Mary who had faith, it was Joseph as well. Simeon, who had heard the word of the Lord and was just so grateful that he had seen the answer. There are some things that we will not see on this side of eternity. I'm not going to be just like Christ on this side of eternity. But he has promised that I'm going to be Christ-like. Because that's what his purposes are for me. As his son, you as his daughter or his son, that's his purpose for our lives. And in the waiting, we can be poised or postured in such a way that we are in faith believing that God is going to accomplish it. We're going to allow him to have his way. When the fulfillment of the promise has come, that's when there's no more opportunity to display faith. No more opportunity because what was faith before has now become realized. It's reality. And so it may at times feel very difficult for us to be in that side where it's not yet fulfilled. But in that time period where it's not yet fulfilled, we have an awesome opportunity to love God, put our hope in him, to trust in Him, to put our confidence in Him, and to know that He's going to accomplish what it is He said. And so when we look back at God's track record with His promises, it can ease our doubts. Okay? It can allow our faith to be activated in times of discouragement, in times of despondency. We can say, you know what, God? You are God who keeps your word. My fourth point tonight is that receiving the gift as it is given is a reminder of who God is and how much we must rely on Him is a tremendous opportunity for us every day. God gives us gifts all the time. Every new day is a gift. And sometimes the troubles that we face, the blessings that we face, the answers to prayer that haven't come yet, the potential that hasn't been realized yet, our difficulties, our faithlessness, every new day, those things that we're faced with are opportunities for us to remember who God is, to remember that He has a gift, that day is a gift, and that we can learn things about ourselves, learn things about who He is, and respond to those things according to who He is, His character and His identity. We receive the gift, whatever comes our way. You know, Paul said it this way, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That promise is not out there, not connected to something else. That promise is connected to that understanding that there are times where life goes the way we want it to, and there are times when life doesn't go the way we want it to. There's times where we have no faith. There's times where we have plenty of faith. There's times where we see the promise fulfilled. There's other times where we have yet to see the promise fulfilled. There's times where we are locked in battle. There's times of peace. There are times in our lives that are tremendously difficult, very discouraging, overwhelming, in fact. And in those moments where life doesn't seem to be going the way we want them to, or in those moments when everything is going awesome, incredible, in each one of those gifts, whether it be a good gift or a bad gift, it's a reminder to us of who God is. It reminds us that we must rely on Him, whether it's good or bad, whether it's beautiful or not beautiful, okay, with the situations that are before us. Instead, it's an opportunity that only will come once in our lives to display trust and hope and faith in who God is. My last point tonight is that Christmas time can be for us a reminder of His presence with us. When the angel came and said that His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us, not only at Christmas, but at every moment of every day, He is our source and He is the promise keeper. One of the things that really strikes me and really blesses me, there are times in my life that I can look back where my heart yearned for God to move. I desperately needed Him to come through for me. I have memories as a young child, weeping at the altar, just asking God, crying out to Him to move in my life, to have His way with me, and to just change me. And the thing is, He's done a lot. And every single time I'm aware of how much He's done, it blesses me. But then there are times in my life where I realize that I've got a long way to go still, that I'm not quite there yet. And when I'm tempted to despair, focus on that and get down on myself and get overwhelmed by how inadequate I feel like I am to meet the needs that are around me or to do the things that are before me, I'm reminded of who He is. And that is the thing that's supposed to sustain me. That is the thing that's supposed to be my life source. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. And it's important for us to recognize that He's not just Emmanuel because He came as a baby and He was among them back then, but that He's with us now, and that as I live my life, as I go through the good times, go through the bad times, good and bad times, that He is there, and He wants to open my eyes to what He's busy doing. He wants to reveal parts of myself that need to grow or change. He wants to reveal to me just how happy He is that I love Him and that I'm with Him. One of the greatest things I think that a lot of times people in the church don't really grasp is that God is crazy about us. He loves us. Not because we're so incredible, but because God is that kind of God. He can love the unlovely. He can do amazing things with things that are not so amazing. And His desire and His ultimate purpose for all of us is that we would become like Christ. And part of that process of growing to be more like Him is a surrendering to Him and learning to see ourselves and see the others the way He sees us and He sees others. And so that comes by spending time with Him, being with Him. You know, good times, bad times. Spending time with Him and learning, you know, His response to sin, His response to the unlovely, His response to the beautiful. And I find that for me, during Christmas, the gifts that He has given are not always wonderful gifts that we are happy to unwrap. Sometimes the gifts are the wounds that we've received, the pain that we've gone through, the things, the disappointments, the heartaches. And when we see them through His eyes, it helps us to identify with Him more. And so that all of our life really truly is a gift. And every moment of every day can be a gift if we remember that we're to live with Him and be with Him throughout it all. And so hopefully as we reflect on the gift giving, you know, Christmas changes a lot when you're an adult. Having kids in the house is a wonderful thing. They're so excited. Some of you may have seen on Facebook, Santa visited our house today. The kids are so excited, and it's a neat time of year for them. It's a neat time to be able to love on them and to give them some of the things they're excited about. But in our lives, there are things that we're excited about too, things that we long for. And to be able to share them with, not with Santa, but with our Heavenly Father, to be able to express to Him our disappointment. Hey, that didn't quite go the way I expected it to. And to learn to be content in all those situations is powerful. There's a fulfillment, things that are yet to come in all of our lives. This is our lives can be kind of marked by the passing of the years as we go into the new year. You know, it's a time where you reflect on this past year and you look to the year ahead. A year can change a lot of things. Even as I look across the age, you know, things have changed a lot here. People have gotten married, people have gotten engaged, you know, things have changed a lot. And that's awesome. And this next year will bring new things too. But the bottom line is if we're near to God and we're seeing the progression of time the way He sees it, if we're allowing Him to open our eyes to the things that we need to be more involved with and allowing Him to have His way in our lives, we'll see that there's a lot more gifts around us, a lot more ways that God is trying to show us how much He loves us and cares about us. And sometimes the things that are the most painful and the most difficult for us to go through have the potential to open us up to huge breakthroughs in our lives, where God just can turn, take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for incredible blessing. And so, let us remember that Emmanuel, God, is with us, and He wants to be with us all the time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are a promise keeper. You have kept Your many promises towards Your people over centuries of time. You've made it clear what Your intentions are. And for us, there may be certain question marks in our lives still, things that we have yet to see happen for us, things that we're longing for or desiring. But You've also made some things very clear, that Your ultimate intention for us as Your children is for us to be with You forever, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would be transformed, Lord, and be with You forever. And until that day, the most blessed day, the day of days, when we stand before You face to face, Lord, help us to make the most of our time, that we would work while it is day, that we would allow You to have Your way with us, and that we would be aware, remembering You in every situation, and that we would allow You to use our lives as an opportunity to bring You praise. I thank You, Lord, that You are at work. You are at work with those that are here tonight. You are at work in our church. You are at work in those that aren't even here tonight, but Lord, all over the place. We are at work. You're a God who does things that are not seen many times. So, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness and your great love. Help us to see the blessing of who you are and what you have provided for us in every situation we face. And teach us to be content. Thank you, Lord, for this night and this season where we remember your faithfulness towards your people, towards us, and your great love. In Jesus' name we pray.